Morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you all. My name's Tristan. It's been a while since I've been at church at 10:30, but it's great to be here and lovely to be with you. I'll be here for the next couple of weeks as well. I don't know if anyone's raised this with you, but maybe we could like pass the hat around and get Jason a jumper. Maybe we could get the new pastoral care team onto that. Let me pray, and then we'll spend some time reading Psalm 20. If you've got your Bible there, open it, Psalm 20, keep it open. Let's pray before you read. Father God, thanks for the great joy that it is to be together. Thank you, Father, for your word. Please help us to hear your word this morning, and please help us to be changed by your words according to the will of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Well, over the past few weeks, we've had the joy of cheering on the Socceroos. We've sort of been overcome with World Cup fever the last little while. Yesterday morning, there were pubs all over the country that were open at 4 a.m. to screen the game. I'm not sure what kind of drinks they're serving at 4 a.m. at the pub, but anyway. Darling Harbour was in Sydney, was packed. Federation Square in Melbourne, thousands of fans. Parramatta Square, South Bank in Brisbane. Not to mention, of course, thousands of lounge rooms all over the country. We've been dressing up, we've been waving our banners, we've been yelling at the TV, we've been sharing the joy, cheering on our team. We've also been taking long lunches and chucking sickies to watch games. My kids came home from school the day before Australia played Paraguay, and my kids very sincerely told me that no less than Prime Minister Anthony Albanese and our MP, Andrew G, had declared that no school kid would have to do any work on the day that Australia played Paraguay. I could not find any such decree, but it turns out my kids know more than I do because they went to school the next day and they made posters and they made banners and they watched the game and they did not do any work. If you felt the excitement, if you felt that sort of jubilation, the national euphoria of cheering on the Socceroos, if you felt even the tiniest bit of pride in our national heroes, then you have had a taste of what's going on in this psalm. Because we have taken so much joy from their success. When they were winning, we were celebrating. They put in the hard yards at training. They put their plans in place. They came up with their strategies. They want to win. They're hungry for it. And when they got what they wanted, we celebrated. Our joy tied to their success. It's very much what's going on in this psalm. In this psalm, Israel's joy is tied to the success not of their football team. Israel's joy is tied to the success of their king. When their king wins, they celebrate. This psalm is part of a little series that we're doing called The Art of Rejoicing. We're going to read three psalms over the school holidays, and we're going to discover three big reasons why we can have joy as people who belong to Jesus. You might remember we did a similar thing back in the last school holidays, so just after Easter, we read through a couple of psalms. And Bryson back then helped us to understand how joy is not just a fleeting feeling of brief happiness. It's a conscious, it's a calm, it's a settled kind of feeling that is grounded in the character of God and in the arrival of Jesus. Here in Psalm 20, God's people find joy in the victory of their king. And we'll see that this psalm helps us to find joy in the victory of Jesus. So let's have a look at it. Have a look at verse 1. And notice how this psalm is a song, and the song is a prayer, and the prayer is for the victory of the king. So verse 1 says, "For the director of music, a psalm of David, may the Lord answer you when you're in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God. We want to shout for joy over your victory. Now, the king isn't mentioned in those first few verses, but spoilers, if you look down at verse 9 and how the psalm ends, it ends with the words, Lord, give victory to the king. That's what this psalm is all about. Victory for the king. Like football fans in front of their TV, God's people shout for joy, they wave their flags, they pump their fists when their team wins, when their king is victorious. Have a look at some of the details. First thing to notice, it's a psalm of David. Maybe a psalm for David. That word could mean either of those things, of or for. David did write lots and lots of psalms. He was also the most famous of the kings of God's Old Testament people. My take on this psalm is that it is written by David, so it's a psalm of David, but he's writing to show the people of Israel how they should pray for their king, which just so happens to be David. How should they pray for their king? Well, David says, pray that God will answer the king. Pray that the God of Jacob will protect the king. That's a reference back to a pretty famous Old Testament story about God helping Jacob when Jacob was in distress. If you want to read that story, it's in Genesis chapter 32 and 35. You can read it later. David says, pray that God would protect the king like he protected Jacob. Back in Psalm 20, verse 2, David says, pray that God would send help from the sanctuary and support from Zion. The sanctuary is the center of the temple. The temple's right in the middle of Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem. The city of Jerusalem is built on a hill called Zion. It's the place where God symbolically dwells on earth. And more importantly, for the point of this psalm, it's the place that God said he would set up his king to rule from Zion. This is a prayer for the king that God has put on this throne. Verse 4. Pray that God would give the king all the desires of his heart. Pray that God would make all his plans succeed. We really wanted our football team to succeed. We wanted their planning to work out. We wanted their training to pay off. They were dreaming of glory, and we wanted all their dreams to come true. What we wanted for the Socceroos, that's what Israel wants for their king. Look at verse 5. May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God. We aren't the people of King David, but we are the people of King Jesus. Jesus is right now, today, the king that God has put on the throne. You know what? Just like King David, King Jesus has desires in his heart. King Jesus makes plans. And Jesus wants his plans to succeed. Jesus is not just some sort of neutral bystander, someone standing in the background. Jesus wants certain things to happen. Jesus, he harbors deep longings for you and me. There are things that Jesus dearly wants for our church. There are things that Jesus dearly wants for our city of Bathurst. There's things that Jesus dearly wants for the world. So we can pray the prayer that's in this psalm. We can pray that God would give Jesus the desire of his heart. We can pray that God would make all of Jesus' plans succeed. In fact, I reckon we can do even better than that, because we know what it is that Jesus wants, and we know what Jesus' plans are. It's the kind of stuff that we've been reading about in Matthew through all of term two. Jesus wants all people everywhere to hear the good news of his kingdom. Jesus wants people to see, and Jesus wants people to understand that he is God's promised rescuer. Jesus wants people to come to him and have forgiveness. Jesus wants us to faithfully serve him. Jesus wants us to love one another with a deep and selfless love. Jesus wants us to enjoy the peace that comes from our unity in the gospel. Jesus wants us to put off sin and put on good deeds. Jesus longs for us to know the riches of his love. We can pray for those things. Let's pray for those things. On the way home from church this morning, you could pray for an opportunity to invite a friend or invite a family member or a neighbour to come along with you to Christianity Explored next term. If you prayed that prayer, that would be a prayer for Jesus' plans to succeed. His plans for all people to know the good news. You could pray that you would be able to sit with the inconvenience of giving up some extra time in your week to read the Bible regularly with a Christian brother or sister. That would be a prayer for Jesus to get all the desires of his heart. You could pray for God's Spirit to convict you of a sin that you've been entertaining for too long in secret. You could pray that you'd repent and leave it behind. That would be a prayer for Jesus' longings for you to come true. You can pray for church at 10:30. Pray that we'd be devoted to one another in love. Pray we'd be generous and hospitable. Pray our kids and teenagers would grow up following Jesus. Because all of these things are things that Jesus longs for. Pray that God would give Jesus the desires of his heart. Those are the things we want to celebrate. I find this idea quite confronting, if I'm honest, because my joy is nearly always in the things that I want. I have joy when I get what I want. When my kids are happy, I have joy. When my marriage is good, I have joy. When no one's angry at me for something, I have joy. But according to this psalm, there's a real depth of joy when Jesus gets what he wants. There's great joy when, even if it means inconvenience for me, I get to share Jesus with someone and invite them to church. There's joy when I don't get a relaxing Friday evening off, but I do get to make four trips in and out to bring my kids to kids' club and youth group so that they can grow as followers of Jesus. There's joy in the things that Jesus wants. Sometimes there's even joy when I suffer, but Jesus gets what he wants. In the New Testament, James says, consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, when you suffer, because when your faith is tested, it strengthens your perseverance in Christ. In Romans, Paul says, we glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance and character and hope. There's joy when Jesus' plans for our life work out. Our joy is in the plans and purposes of Jesus. Pure joy. When we grow in loving and serving Jesus all the more. When Jesus' good and loving plans for us succeed. When it happens, we shout for joy. We wave our flags. Now, if you belong to Jesus, there is going to be plenty of things like that in your life to celebrate. There is going to be lots of that sort of joy because, unlike the Socceroos, where all that joy sort of came crashing down, Jesus always wins. And that's what we discover in the second half of the psalm. The prayer of God's King is always answered. Have a look at verse 6. And as we read the last half of the psalm, notice the confident joy of the king's victory. Verse 6. Now, this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Lord, give victory to the king. Answer us when we call. In the ancient world, if you had chariots and horses, you were basically a nuclear superpower. Chariots were like having long-range missiles, and horses were like having high-tech drones, right? If you had those, blindingly obvious, you can put your confidence in them, because with those things, you're unbeatable. They are the reason that you can be confident of victory. But David knows God answers the prayer of his king. God gives his king victory. Some people might trust in chariots and horses, but you can have far greater confidence in God's king. And we actually see that sort of play out in the Bible story. After David, there's lots and lots of kings in Israel. God gives them lots of victories. God gives David lots of victories. It's kind of what he was famous for, victory over Goliath, victory over his enemies. Coming up in term three, we're going to read through Chronicles. As we do, we'll hear about lots of the victories that God gave to the king that he had put on the throne over Israel. But all of those victories are just a runway leading us to the victory of King Jesus. When Jesus arrived, and again, we saw this when we were reading through Matthew, Jesus showed that he had victory over sickness and victory over disease, victory over evil spirits, even victory over sin and victory over death. And Jesus, by dying in our place and by dying for our sin, Jesus is victorious over my sin, over your sin. He's risen from the dead. He has a once and for all eternal victory over death. Jesus now rules as God's supreme King of all. There is nowhere better to put your confidence than in the victory of King Jesus. The joy of belonging to Jesus can never be taken away. The joy of being chosen by God, forgiven, even though we've done nothing to deserve it. The joy of God's grace and mercy. The joy of being part of God's family. The joy of having Christian brothers and sisters. The joy of being loved by the Lord Jesus, no matter how unlovable we are. The joy of knowing where our eternity lies. It's a confident joy. It's an unshakable joy because God gives victory to his king. Look, if you got a bit sad earlier when I mentioned the Socceroos and you kind of tuned out since then, tune back in. If you just take one thing from this psalm, make it this, right? Our deepest joy comes when Jesus gets what he wants, when our king is victorious. And so in this psalm, when this psalm prays for God to give the victory to the king, that prayer of verse 9, that is a prayer that's already been answered. Jesus has the victory. We get to celebrate it. That's an amazing cause, source of joy for us. This psalm, when it talks, when it prays that the king would get all the desires of his heart, the prayer that all the king's plans would succeed, that's a prayer we can keep on praying. We can pray for Jesus' plans and purposes for the world. Pray that people would come to know Jesus, that his kingdom would grow. Not just in the world, but we can also pray that Jesus would get what he wants in our lives too. Not for what we want necessarily, but what he wants. So that what we long for most deeply, where we find our greatest joy, is the good and loving plans and purposes of King Jesus. Let's pray for that now. Let's pray. Father God, we do want to celebrate the victory of King Jesus. Thank you so much that you have given him victory over sin and death. God, please give Jesus the desires of his heart. Please make all his plans and purposes succeed. The things that he dearly longs for in his people, in us, please grant them to him so that our lives might be lived in such a way as to honour him. Amen.